This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0 and is. What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe.
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Ooh, extended O's.
Oh. Yo, your boys are back from day homes. This is
you're flexing.
This is O Sopranos Pod. As always, I'm
your
Joe Spellman. That was Paul. What's to finish
Polius.
It? And the other guy here is
David Feudernick.
And we're talking about season two, episode 11.
11?
Fuck, I don't know numbers.
Why did we, I love that we just like organically agreed that you would do the intro every week, even though you are
fucking settled on spells.
Terrible at it.
He fails every week.
That's the charm.
That's the charm.
That's the fucking charm.
We dug our heels in the sand.
No, I'm pretty bad at this one. I'm usually pretty good. I just was like coming up with a different spin, and then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? There's no different
spin. Came in hot, and then things just trailed off.
Got real cold.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's what happens.
That's right.
What's the name of this fucking episode?
We should say we are joined by a special guest.
I was going to leave that up to you.
A friend of a friend of ours, Evan, also goes by at Kill a Cow, cow with a K on Twitter. He is very, very funny. One of my favorite Twitter accounts. He recently did a rewatch of the show, so I thought we had to have him on. He is currently drinking red wine and seltzer, which I respect.
Not together, separately.
Yeah, yeah. Not in one glass. Kind of, you know, alternating, you know, as one does. You got to stay hydrated. People, stay hydrated. Kill Cow, welcome to the pod.
Thank you guys for having me. And before we start, may I just say, oh!
Yes! Perfect.
You may.
Nice.
What
and
a, thank you.
What a polite, yes. What a polite oh.
Thank you. Also.
Yeah. Welcoming.
Evan, you are from Philadelphia, correct?
I am from the suburbs just north of Philadelphia, yes.
That you have to be the most polite person I've ever met from Philly.
Well, just wait till I have some more of this red wine.
That's right.
Yeah, keep chugging.
That's right. That's right.
See where this goes.
Can I ask you, have you ever been to the Pine Barrens? Because that's like South Jersey, right? That's like...
Oh, yeah. We'd vacation in the Pine Barrens all the time. We had this tradition where we'd go there right in the heat of like January, and my dad had this really fun game, Find the Russian, where we'd go through there, we'd search for any like 7 or 8 foot tall Russians, see if we can get some interior decorating tips. It's really a fun winter anytime we can do that.
You mix the ketchup.
But you never found him, huh?
Mix the ketchup with the relish.
Yeah, that's a Philadelphia delicacy. You put that on cheesesteak, and it's just
wow.
Oh,
very nice, very nice.
Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. I have a quick correction. I didn't recently rewatch The Sopranos. I recently watched it for the first time ever.
Are you serious? Oh,
wow. I'm very serious. Yeah.
Oh,
in 2020, your first watch.
Goyes, first watch in 2020. Yeah.
Goyes, can you cut him out of the Zoom? Cut. Drop him from the Zoom. Didn't know that.
No. This is great, actually, though. So, like, what was your like interpretation? Like, you had never seen an episode. You just sort of like went for it.
Never saw an episode. I had picked. I've like existed in the culture over the past 20 years or so. So I knew like the basics of the show. You know, like a mobster balancing crime life and personal life. I knew all about the last episode. I had seen I'd seen that whole final clip on YouTube.
Sure. Yeah,
I think I read the interpretation about how Tony dies that the guy wrote. That's like 100,000 pages on WordPress or something, right, without having ever seen the show. I did that when I was funny. Like, I don't know, like 20 or something, and just bored at home. And I knew like some of the beats of the show, and I'd seen other mob stuff. You know, I've seen The Godfather. Yeah. I've seen Goodfellas. I've heard.
So how did you find it? Like,
oh, I thought you meant how did you find it? Like, where? Where is it? Oh,
I went to HBO.com.
I use my parents' login to Amazon Prime.
Look, I've got my own login. My parents leech off of mine. But
Okay, good. Me too. Me too.
But yeah, I thought it was excellent. Like, I was kind of worried that it might show its date a little bit, since even the last episode aired like 13 years ago. But I thought it held up like pretty remarkably well. It was a lot funnier than I expected it to be. It's a lot funnier than some of these so-called comedies they have these days.
It's true.
That is funny because like, think about like the shows like when we were kids in the 90s, like think about like the shows from the 70s and how fucking outdated they seemed like back then. Yeah. Like it's kind of impressive that it doesn't feel as outdated now, 20 years later.
Yeah. And also my whole thing is like with 2020 sensibilities, or maybe I should say 2020 sensitivities, like how I just think it's so interesting that a show that is so sort of offensive, like purposefully offensive, though,
right,
to like minorities and gay people and this and that, like with all the people who have just found this series or have rewatched it for the first time in 15 years, it's like, how do people react to Tony Soprano not wanting his daughter to date a half black, half Jewish guy? You know what I mean? Like I always wonder, like people just finding it now, is this show going to get canceled? And I never hear anything about that. Like I never hear people like coming with the pitchforks and torches for the show for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Because they like, you know, they like, didn't they recut a Golden Girls episode or some shit?
Yeah. Cause they had mud masks on.
No, there was
apparently like show has done blackface.
Yeah,
like Scrubs. I mean,
you gotta recut a lot of the Golden Girls because a lot of that shit is really edgy. So I mean, they're really opening the floodgates now. You know,
is it just because like the show is like good and all those other shows are like whatever? Like any sitcom is really just whatever. This is just garbage anyway.
I think because people are like binging so much shit now, like, and it's on Hulu. I think maybe like Hulu was like, because it's probably one of the more watched shows on there.
Well, HBO just like changed fucking Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, yeah.
It's true.
Whoa. HBO Max. Please. Yeah. Please.
I forget. Forget they're different. They got different CEOs.
We have to make a distinction.
That's great that you, because that was my biggest curious question asking somebody who just watched it for the first time is like, does it not even, like, I guess this is a hard question to ask, but is it the greatest show of all time in your opinion?
That's what we want to know.
Well, I mean, I've seen Arliss, so I can't possibly make that claim.
Yo, besides Arliss,
non-Arliss,
great. It's one predecessor.
Classic go-to.
I don't know. There's a lot of recency bias. I don't think it's the greatest show, but it is. It's up there. It's like, I'd be hard pressed to name 10 better shows.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
What just out of curiosity, what were some of your favorites before you caught Sopranos?
The Wire, to be very
for sure.
Of course.
Absolutely.
No.
The Simpsons has a very special place in my heart, especially. I don't mess around with seasons 3 through 8. I'm more of a like season 15 and on guy. I think that's where hit its stride. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. It's
I was like controversial.
Yeah, I believed it.
That'd be a good bit to do one day. Just,
Like
I'm a recent Simpsons only guy. Like the episode where Lisa meets Lady Gaga is like the pinnacle of the form.
Yeah, I'm all Godfather 3. All just
yep.
Should we get into the episode discussion?
Yeah, let's do it.
House arrest.
So Evan, you probably watched this episode a few days ago, or in what span of time did you binge the Sopranos?
We binged the whole series from like the end of March to maybe the first week of June. I rewatched this episode yesterday, and it had probably been like 2 months since I saw it. Also, the first time I had rewatched an episode of The Sopranos.
There you go.
It's an interesting episode to rewatch. Of course, this is House Arrest, season 2, episode 11. Because there's not a lot that goes down in the episode. In fact, that's almost like the point of it, right? Is that it's like sort of mundane, right?
Yeah.
Just to refresh our people who haven't watched it in 20 years, this is the episode where Junior struggles with life while under house arrest. Tony reports to his job in quotation marks at Barone Sanitation. And what else? Dr. Melfi. Dr. Melfi's drinking problem worsens. Yeah. And that's basically it. No big like plot movements. But there's a ton of like memorable shit like peppered throughout the episode.
Richie continues to cross Tony.
Be a pain in Tony's ass. Right. Yeah. Yeah,
Uncle,
I guess that's it.
Uncle June. There's a lot of Uncle June stuff.
Great Uncle June up.
Right. Yeah, because Uncle June had sort of been on the bench for most of the season, like in terms of like he hasn't had an A story this season.
Yeah, he's been farting into the same couch cushion, you know.
Right. So let's get into it. I mean, opening scene with that garbage truck unloading piles of like rotted lettuce.
Art department.
Like in front of this Quickie Mart or whatever.
Art department. Fantastic job with the heads of lettuce. That's beautiful trash. Gorgeous trash.
Like nobody, they're not even in trash bags. They're just openly like rotting vegetables like in the back of this truck.
Yeah.
I love that little line. That's one of my favorite like esoteric or like one-off lines that you don't like, you know, spoken by a minor character. You are speaking shit to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought I love that every time I see it.
I wrote that down. It spoke to me. this dumping. Where do you think it ranks on the dumpings in the series? I have it firmly in the top three. The other two being Tony's diarrhea fest later on in this season, and
a couple episodes later,
and then Gigi dying on the toilet.
Yes,
I haven't figured out an order, but I think that's the clear top three.
Well, honorable mention, of course, Little Veed's dump in the shower.
That's true.
Right. But if we're also talking about like just garbage trucks dumping, like what about final season when they're like dumping asbestos into like
the waste into the meadowlands?
Also another great one. I reflect on it fondly. So I guess the idea is like the guy had called and complained because like they just skipped him. They missed like garbage pickup and then they charged him double because they had to come out twice.
Right.
I mean, is there nobody like overseeing the sanitation in Newark or wherever the fuck they are? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, Tony Soprano is.
I know, but that's the thing. Like, there's like that guy is just fucked. There's nothing he can do to like fix the rotting vegetables in his parking lot.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's what they're called. That's the mob. That's how they work.
Right.
What?
If
he's just finding out about how the mob works.
Yeah. It's just interesting to me. He has no other routes of like, I'm fucked. Like, I'm cleaning up these vegetables myself. So I guess the big thing in this episode is like they call that to attention because later in the episode we find out that Richie is selling blow around like along the garbage stops.
Right.
And that always confused me. What is the advantage from a criminal perspective to selling blow along garbage routes? Do we know this?
Straight to consumer, mm-hmm. And there's no you know, I don't know. Have you guys ever ordered Coke and have a guy come to your apartment before? It's fucking weird.
Well, I mean, Evan, you're from Philly. Have you ever seen that before?
I've never seen anyone delivering blow on a garbage route, but like the dumping of the garbage truck, that's just like every other Tuesday for me where we grow up.
Yeah. Right.
They're like, we do not accept this garbage and just dump it.
Yeah, that's like an Eagles lost Tuesday.
Right.
I had a friend who ordered Coke and had it delivered to his Manhattan apartment by some sketchy ass motherfucking dude. And he came into the apartment and, you know, did it. And it was fine, I guess, because it's in your apartment. But it's weird as fuck. So I guess maybe if it's like you're talking to a person who's just picking up your garbage, it doesn't look conspicuous.
Wasn't there a drug dealer in New York, like in the 60s or 70s, that used to sell drugs out of an ice cream truck? Like, it's like that's... It's a similar thing because like
that I get because unless you're making a transaction regardless whether it's ice cream or cocaine
right that's
but
true.
Like people like unloading your dumpster into the back of their truck like they're not it's not like that guy in the opening scene who's like you were speaking shit to me that guy's not buying the coke.
That
was my other point.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Oh wait, is he?
It no, could be. It could be anybody. It could be anybody, business or residential. I'm saying, like,
he wouldn't complain if there were his coke supply, dude.
Probably not, but maybe he's not. Maybe people are doing it, and maybe he's not one of them. You know, it's like it can't be everyone.
But it's clearly a half baked idea because, like, as the episode progresses, like the FBI like has pictures of the guy selling it to somebody, so it's like. Right. So it's probably just Richie and June being sloppy and like not even fucking thinking about it. Like, you know, Richie wants to make money.
It still doesn't
fast.
Make any sense to me because like what, like how many customers are going to be waiting for you there to pick up somebody's trash at whatever the fuck place? But
anyway. Well, maybe they put it in your mailbox. Like, you know, maybe they like, you know, put it somewhere. Maybe there is a system to it.
True.
And, you know, it's a little more covert that you're unaware of. Whereas like, you know, like someone in the suburbs is not necessarily going to go down to an urban area to buy cocaine if that's like probably where you would think back in the day that's where people would get it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I guess. I don't know.
That's my guess. That's my...
I should clarify. I'm not a lawyer. Don't take anything I say as legal advice, societal advice. Act on your own peril. But I think it might kind of be the perfect crime. Like you pick up someone's trash. You leave some cocaine in their trash can, and then it's like, oh, who's to say how that got there? It fell off a truck.
That's true.
True, yeah. You are selling cocaine via trash routes, aren't you?
No.
That is why we asked him on this episode.
Yes.
This is definitely something I think would be happening in the suburbs of Philly, you know, still to this day.
Cocaine, trash, all the same. But yeah, so then we see Tony fresh off the he's getting off of the Bevilacqua murder with the eyewitness on the murder and all that at the end of last episode, and now we have Neil Mink, his lawyer, telling him, you know, he's got a lay low.
By the way, he's got like I love like throughout the episode people talking about this Nets game.
Is that a threat? Like,
see, well, first of all, I think a lot of them made money off of it. But all these people are like, Richie's like, how about the Nets? And then Neil Mink is like, that game? Asian Harris is like, you see that game last night, Tone?
Is it all the same game? It can't be.
My question to you, yeah, I think so. My question to and maybe I should have asked this before, but to the basketball guys,
right,
what game is it? Do you know what game it would be?
In 2000? Well, he goes, man, that guy Williams is good, like Darren Williams.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, so, but I don't know. They were good back then. I don't know.
I had that same thought about Darren Williams, but he didn't get drafted till like 2005, I think.
And he wasn't, and like, when was he with the Nets?
And, yeah, was he was with the Nets in like the late 2000s.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's not him. Wait, what's...
Williams?
Very disappointed. Jason, you guys, yeah, I didn't win the exact game.
Who, Jason Williams? Isn't that a guy?
He is a guy, but... did he play for the Nets?
Who's the guy?
Yeah, just Google search Jason Williams. Who's only the guy, one guy will come up, probably.
Who's the guy with the gun? Wasn't that Jason Williams?
Gilbert Arenas?
Gilbert Arenas?
No.
Oh, you mean the guy who actually like shot someone?
I think he was pulling out he was showing a gun at a party.
NBA
and
or
he
Sopranos
shot,
here.
Yeah, I'm talking about NBA. He shot somebody, and he was like showing a gun at like his house. Wasn't that a guy named Jason Williams? I don't know.
I mean, there was.
We went off track.
Yeah.
Aaron Williams is the Williams they were talking about.
Ah, okay. I trust you've done your little research there.
Yeah, I crunched the numbers.
Thank you. I can't trust my co-hosts. I got to rely on the guests. But yeah, so Neil Mink tells Tony, you got to lay low. I guess Tony has like on paper, like a couple different jobs he reports to, Barone Sanitation being one.
Yeah, what's the first
one?
One
is like some.
Yeah, he's like flesh there or burning fat.
Like fat or something. Yeah, burning flesh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to know. But you do you guys think this is like an effect? Is this like a strategy that like mob guys use? Like they have like their on paper jobs that they like report to every once in a while, or like is that an effective strategy? I don't even know.
I mean, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's something that they're normally reporting to, but of course they have like shit on paper. I mean,
because we never throughout the rest of the series see people like reporting to any sort of like 9-to-5 job, right?
There's that scene where they all go they go to that job at the construction site and they're all
That's
just
true.
Sitting
yeah,
around.
No
right,
no
those
show
are like,
jobs.
Yeah. Then there's like no work jobs where they show up but they just fucking sit on their asses
right.
all day. Yeah.
Yeah, and like
I remember
Christopher, like the Wibistics thing, like.
Yeah, I get yeah. But that was for like a specific sort of play to like, you know, with stocks and everything, trying to get rich quick.
Right.
With this, it's like Tony just needs to go sit in an office and not be associating with known criminals.
What was the business where Paulie is like employee of the month? Remember there's that picture of him on the wall?
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, it's like season six or something. Like that's Barone Sanitation, I think.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Paulie also has – that was the episode where they were trying to sell Barone Sanitation after Dick Barone
died.
Right,
his kid, when
right.
they break his kid's
Paulie,
legs.
Paulie has the beef with the kid.
Right. Oh, Uncle Paulie.
Right, yeah.
On Uncle Paulie,
yeah.
Me.
So Paulie's like on the books there, but we don't see Paulie in the offices in this episode.
Right.
But yeah, that whole thing of like Tony like laying low, he's like making a office basketball pool,
yep.
like for the people and shit. Like, it's I think that's sort of like the point of the episode is Tony cannot handle these like the regularness of life, right? But we'll get into that. So, Junior's storyline here. He starts off in the hospital. I don't know if he got like a stint or something or like
a stent.
Yeah, stent, yeah.
Was
it? Because they say that he's responding well to the stent, like in his like follow up.
Oh, gotcha. I missed that. And then some FBI marshal comes in to like put his ankle bracelet back on because he's under house arrest.
A Marshall McLuhan joke for all the kids out there, you know, for the youngins.
Yeah. I didn't know who that was. I had to Google it.
Annie Hall. You
Neither
Annie.
Did Junior.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Fuck's the joke.
I only know because of...
I had heard the name, but I just didn't know who
it
was.
I only know because of Annie Hall, the scene in Annie Hall, where like he actually like gets pulled. He's like, you know nothing of my work.
He was like, I guess, some Canadian philosopher who studied media theory and like effects of mass media on like behavior of society and shit. Yeah. So
oh, cool.
Whatever the writers are trying to say with that one, not sure.
No, Terrence Winter, all about it.
Yes. Who makes an appearance in this episode. Did you catch it?
Yes.
He's playing Melfi's patient.
Yep.
Anyway. So
I'm not a cat. I don't shit in a box. Like that line.
Yeah.
When Tony's like bored at home, looking out the window, eating ice cream, like
listening to classic rock.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
I love Q104.
Q104, yeah, baby.
Back in the day, that shit was the fucking best.
I feel like that's all of us the past like 3 months, right? Just like just staring out the window. What are you doing? Nothing. Just looking out the window.
Yeah, but it's Sirius XM. Right, yeah. Yeah. Staring out the window, listening to the Dave Matthews Band channel on Sirius XM.
MSNBC, yeah. NBC on fucking blast.
right.
Yeah. Rachel turned up all the way.
Hey, he's having a Dove bar in the afternoon. I mean, that's pretty good.
That's
too.
Living, baby.
Pretty baller.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I love that there's like a big bowl of fruit right next to him, and he's still like just fucking chowing down on the Dove bar or whatever.
There are like social media, like Sopranos social media, like Instagrams, which are like just pictures of like when there were flowers in the shot or when there was fruit in the shot and shit. Like,
yeah.
You want to talk about calling out the art department? I mean, come on.
Feudy, you run one of those accounts, don't you, man? You're always out the fucking art department.
I wish.
Oh, I got to make a plug right now. I was going to save it for the end, but this is the perfect segue.
Oh, please do.
Yeah,
nobody listens to the end, man. Do it now.
Exactly. Yeah. My girlfriend has started a account like that. It's called Sopranos Robes. It goes through every robe a character wears in The Sopranos. When we were watching it, we were noticing how many robes people were wearing, and she's going through episode by episode. There are way more robes than you think. Like,
that's amazing. What's the handle?
The handle is Sopranos Robes.
Oh, amazing.
I stumbled upon it because that's what I was just going to say. Like, I was just going to ask Dave, like, what's the new one that I just saw? And that's right. That's the one. Like, I stumbled upon that. It must have been like you retweeted it on Kill a Cow when I was looking on the O Sopranos Twitter.
Maybe we did. Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. We've been plugging it heavily. It's an excellent account. One post a day. Character in a robe. Nothing more. Nothing
it's great.
Less.
No, you are right. You are right. There are tons of, I was like, oh my God, there are a lot of robes.
I mean, Tony's robe's the iconic robe. And now I'm curious to see like what else you guys are coming up with.
I mean, I can definitely picture Ralphie. Ralphie definitely in a robe.
Ralphie's got a robe.
Ralphie's got some nice robes. There's one character who does not wear a robe until the very last episode.
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Give me a sec. This. I'm going to really fucking press myself here. Okay. Fucking last episode. Agent Harris.
It's not Agent Harris. Well, it might be Agent Harris.
Wait.
I
think it is.
I can't
because
I can't confirm if it's Agent Harris, but that is the last time it's the only time you see him at home.
Right, because he's like, yeah, he's like in bed or something, right? Or wait, am I imagining?
Yeah,
this?
he's in bed and he hears about the Phil Leotardo hit and he gets so pumped. Yeah. Oh, but no, that's not who I was thinking of. It's a character than Agent Harris.
Ooh, can you tell us? Or do we have to go to the feed to find
out? Well, it won't be on the feed for a while because we're going chronologically roughly. But the answer is AJ.
Wow.
AJ.
I can't even picture him.
Yeah, it's just one scene in the last episode. I can't even remember what the robe is, but it's an AJ-esque robe.
100% the writers knew what they were doing. They're like handing off Tony's robe to AJ, right?
It's
the final eps.
It's a Slipknot robe.
It's a mud vein robe.
Right. Yeah.
That's the thing. There's like all these fucking like AJ's Nu Metal t-shirts is a Twitter account.
Oh,
just
that one's
last week found I forget what it's called.
Where's
the Gabagool? yeah, the Gabagool count. Like fucking phenomenal.
This motherfucker has like 5 followers. Like, respond to us, motherfucker.
He's so nervous now. He was like, shit, no, no one was supposed to know about this.
He put the spotlights on him
through fucking episodes, man. You gotta, like, it's not just like verbally, like, he's trying to spot the gabagool too.
By the way, we got gabagool in this episode, right? What does he take out of the fridge when the book club is going on?
I don't know.
I thought that was the smoked turkey, but it's not. I don't know what it is.
It had
he takes
pink,
out something and he just did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we
pink,
didn't see it.
Pinkish hue.
I thought it was just could've wrapped been. Up. He angrily takes out some sort of cold cut. But
yes,
like,
yes.
But like 3/4 of their fridge is cold cuts and the other quarter is orange juice.
Right. Yeah.
That's very true.
He's so mad that like Carmela's having the girls over for like their book club. And he's just like,
it is funny. This season, Carmela reads like Frank McCourt and Memoirs of a Geisha. I just like vividly remember my mother reading that in this time period.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I have that written down about my mom. I was going to say the same thing.
I just can envision her nightstand, like having both those books.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny though? That's what The Sopranos did. It's really a time capsule, and they really paid attention to those details about like what the fucking like average Joe was consuming, whether
it was
it's like TV or books or music, shit like that. You know,
that shit was such a craze back then because probably Oprah read it or like Rosie O'Donnell read it or something.
Yep,
like,
right, yep.
And they were huge. They were so huge. Like, yeah,
right. And they always try to like it. Always sort of like ties into whatever the fucking theme of the episode is. Like when they were talking about like Tiz by Frank McCourt, somebody said something like, oh, you know, how do they find the humor in such like tragedy?
Right.
Like, that's the fucking Sopranos. That's the show.
Right.
You know, they didn't write that line for nothing, you know, but
also got in their racist digs against Irish people. So, you know,
yeah, you know,
you got to stay on brand. You got to get your racist digs in.
Right. But anyway, speaking of drinking, Melfi, is like taking shots before
slamming Belvedere before Tony Sessions. Yeah.
Right. Do you get like, what's the point of this little storyline? I mean, it doesn't really end up going anywhere.
This is like another, especially with Uncle June in this episode, it's just like another way to flesh out the character. Another way to like, show what's going on in their life and their the mundaneness, not just of Tony, but all these other, you know, integral characters to the show.
Right.
I guess that's it.
I think it was David Chase's way. I think it was David Chase's way of trying to strong arm New Jersey into passing anti-smoking and restaurant laws.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
My God.
That didn't come around until when, you know?
I mean, like I remember in New York, like the bars finally, like when I was a freshman in college in the early 2000s, like the bars finally like being anti-smoking. But I mean, that is fucking, and I say this as somebody who smoked cigarettes when I was younger, like that is fucking disgusting to be eating and like have somebody blowing fucking cigarette smoke indoors in your face
did it all the
like,
time
was there not even like a smoking section in that restaurant, because she was just like posted up right next to Melfi and her son, and
that seems weird. Usually there would be maybe a smoking section. But I guess I wasn't eating in like nice restaurants like when I was in college, when like I definitely ate at diners where we smoked inside, which is disgusting. But I do remember when they banned smoking in New York City. It was probably like 02 or 03. Yeah.
It was 02. I will say, like, in regards to the Melfi stuff, I think David Chase often gives her like some stuff outside of therapy that then pushes her to push Tony in some direction. And so, like, Elliot pushing her about her drinking gets her riled up, and then she pushes Tony about like how like
she does,
you know, what he needs to change in his life, you know.
Yeah. I mean, because by the end of the episode, after Tony's been, you know, sort of secluding himself from the rest of the gang, like she sort of puts it to him like, why do sharks have to keep moving, you know?
Right.
Like these antisocial personalities need to like keep moving so that they don't stop and think about the people that they're actually hurting. And then, but I love that Tony just sort of like turns that on Richie. He's like, right, this fucking guy I know fucking crippled somebody. It's like, it's never him. It's always somebody else that's being talked about. But yeah, I mean, I love how that sort of, I think you're right, Dave, and it never occurred to me before, but I think that's sort of what David Chase was going for with that whole storyline there.
Yeah.
And then it's just dropped because Tony, of course, doesn't do any actual self-reflection. Then we get to the garbage man's
hold
ball.
Hold on. I have to say this one little last thing about the mask, about the cigarette thing. I mean, come on, as it relates to today's society, isn't it like the mask people? And then who gets punished? Yeah. The one who's right, right? You know, yeah. She gets thrown out. I just wanted to say that.
It's true. Yeah. We would have, if this was now like, and smoking was still legal in restaurants, we would definitely see a video of that interaction go viral on Twitter.
Oh yeah. I also think that the orderly who comes and makes Junior sit in the wheelchair in the hospital.
Oh yeah.
Like, sir, your wheelchair. Like, sir, your face mask. Right. Junior would definitely not be adhering to whatever.
Sounds like Nazi Germany.
But yeah, so we get to the event that the Barone Sanitation is holding.
I love this.
Which Richie calls the garbage man's ball.
It looks like it.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it is, it's some sort of like social...
I don't know.
The costume department was great on this. Oh, yeah. Like everyone was just in the best perfect outfit.
It's just like classless people, like what they think classy is.
Right.
I'm not wearing a fucking tie. I'll wear the khakis and my fucking nice polo, okay? And I'll tuck it in. Not wearing a fucking tie.
those
people.
Yeah. You don't have Jack Daniels?
So some event that all the garbage people need to get together for whatever reason. But my question is this the first time we heard that Janice and Richie are officially engaged?
Yeah.
And then I just love Janice's fucking transformation into the mob wife here.
Right,
because you think about like where she started the season, she's like, oh, I'm Parvati,
right?
She's like smoking weed and she's like the hippie aunt. And now she's like, you know, the sweater over her shoulders.
Now she's Jan.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Completely.
You ever notice a guy in this scene who is just like a little flash? Is this guy, I think his name is Frank Adonis. He's in all the fucking Scorsese movies. Like, he's like,
I recognize that guy.
He's in Casino. He's in Goodfellas. He's in Raging Bull. Like,
oh, I thought he was.
What the fuck?
I know who you're talking about.
He's one of the like people talking like in the flashes.
He's one of the guys who like, so when Tony has, so panic Tony has like the interaction with Richie about like, don't sell the coke along the routes and don't give me your fucking Manson lamps and all that. And then More Than a Feeling starts playing and Tony starts to have the panic attack.
Yeah.
And then they cut to, you know, the bigger woman sort of like dancing.
Yep.
And like, just snippets of conversation, like mundane, like awful, uninteresting conversation from all these people. He's one of those guys who's just like feeding those lines, right?
Yeah, it's like one of those inserts of like that conversation about the sanitation department or whatever.
And then
so weird, and we never see him again. It's like this guy's like a accomplished, like he's been in a million movies. You'd recognize him.
I know who you're talking about. You know, he almost looks like Larry Barisi.
He kind of does.
A little bit. Because I was like, is that Larry? And I was like, no, it's another guy. But that guy looks familiar. I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah, he would be like a bigger character.
I wonder if maybe because Terrence Winter wrote this episode, if maybe they're friends or something. And he just like for shits and giggles was like, hey, come by set. And like,
yeah, come on in. Yeah. We'll give you a
like,
line.
Why else would he be in this? Like that guy is like mafia actor royalty.
Yeah.
So this is where Tony starts to have his first panic attack since I don't know. Have we seen a full blown panic attack this season? Maybe not since like the first episode when Janice like shows up, he starts to like feel a little
the ginger ale,
like,
on
whatever.
The brain,
but do you think what do you think spurred the panic attack here? Is it his conversation with Richie, or is it the mundanity of because there's a reason that I feel like that they cut to all those people like fucking just having the most boring conversation you can ever imagine while he's having his panic attack? Is it like the seclusion he's been under?
I think it's
just being a normal person, or is it Richie?
I think it's everything, and it's also like he talks to Janice, and like Janice is going to be marrying Richie, and all that stress from that. Right. Like he's going to have to, like Richie's going to be his brother-in-law. I think it's just like everything, like all the stress he went through, like almost going away for a long time. Like I think it's
That's often when you have a panic attack when you're overwhelmed. Right. So he's just overwhelmed with like all this bullshit.
I think he's upset that he couldn't get any of the World War II memorabilia that they found.
Yeah, that's true. That is painful for Tony. That's so interesting. Of all people. Like,
well, that's they purposely did that because you know we always see him watching the History Channel and this and that, and he takes an interest in that kind of shit. And to like the one cutaway in the like middle of the episode that we have to like the guys, Chris and Paulie and Syl, like is them geeking out over all this World War II memorabilia. Yeah. First of all, how fucking like how did they get this? And second of all, how scary is it that they have this fucking historical they are now in charge of this fucking historical shit.
Right.
Like so bizarre. But really
also,
funny moment.
Also a little too on the nose that they chose Puss to dress as the in the Nazi hat and like, you know, talk about like people being traitors and stuff.
Dude, was it too on the nose? Cause I didn't catch it.
You didn't? God.
No, I didn't get it.
Fucking moron.
You guys got it?
Well, is it on the nose if you don't know what's going to happen? I mean, I don't know.
True. Yeah, that's true.
It's on the nose if you rewatch it.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know that he's a traitor at that point. Like.
Oh, true. Yeah, I guess.
You know that he's talking to the feds. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But is it? I don't know.
But yeah, so it's.
I don't fucking know.
Good call, Feudie. But so. Yeah, then we got so Tony's stuck. Oh fuck. Truffles?
Yeah, that's my dog. Hey, shut up. We have ways of dealing with you, Truffles.
So we have Tony stuck in his regular life at the garbage disposal business, and then we have Junior stuck with his hand in an actual garbage disposal.
Oh shit.
Oh fuck. No, I didn't even think of that.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was on the nose. What do you think now, man?
And they dispose of garbage at the beginning of the episode.
It's true. This episode's all about garbage and
you're flexing.
Rid of it.
All right. You all are flexing. You're all flexing.
Gullius, you're flexing.
Junior stood there for fucking 6 hours with his hand in the garbage disposal.
How fucking much do you have to stick your goddamn... how hard do you have to stick your... I just don't know what's going on. How the hell is that going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But of course, then we get
enough
Richie
that you
and...
can't move it around and take it out. I mean, it's my fucking nightmare, really, if that would happen to
honestly,
me.
I do love that Janice comes in. I know we're jumping ahead, but she's like, why didn't you call anyone? It's like, oh, whoa.
My
toes?
Fucking toes.
Toes. I love how much Junior just fucking despises Janice.
He really does. I never really picked up how much it's like it's not covered up at all. He outwardly hates her.
Yeah.
Like with everything she does.
And then like
he's right. He sees like that she's a fucking little snake in the grass.
Oh yeah.
He sees that she's a fucking like he warns Richie. He warns Richie.
He does, yeah. But then so they're his savior. And then that's when Richie tells Junior like, hey, you know, he gives him like the envelope, it's light, and Junior's like, what the fuck? And he's like, hey, your nephew doesn't want to let us earn.
Right.
You know? Which is stoking the flames a little bit. And of course, that's like the one thing that sort of pushes the plot a little forward this episode, because it's just more, you know, it's the jacket and it's Tony's whole attitude towards Richie this season. And now this, you know. Richie's making his case to Junior to, hey, maybe your nephew does have to go, you know?
Right.
Yo, great Wallace Beery reference, which is an actor who died in 1949. I was like, dude, Richie even know who this motherfucker is?
What's the reference?
He goes, you should have seen him in the you know, at the garbage man, like garbage man's ball. He looked like Wallace Beery, which is a fat actor, like who from the 30s and 40s. Like,
there's
wow.
a lot of sort of like obscure references. Yeah. That V's fucking mob guys would not know.
Right.
I mean, maybe Junior would know who that is.
Sure.
For sure he would. But it's just such a, I'm like, what the fuck? I've never even heard of this person. I find that funny.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the whole Junior and Catherine Romano, this sweet old lady storyline?
I will say, I would have liked it better. Like, the actress has always bothered me. She's really plain at a, like, New Jersey, like, Italian woman, you know?
Oh, yeah, I could tell by the way she pronounces Manigat, she's like, the Manicot?
She says Manigat when she first gets there, and then when she's leaving, she says Manicot. I'm like, fuck that.
The dialogue coach was like, I give up. I'm sorry.
She doesn't remember. She can't remember it.
Yeah.
She got
subconsciously. That's why Bobby ate all of it, to protect Junior from an inauthentic product.
It's fair. Right. Yeah, she's asking to go to IHOP and shit. Like, come on.
Yeah.
What kind of Italian is like, wants to go to IHOP instead of a New Jersey diner?
Hey, my 100% full-blooded Italian used to take us to IHOP, okay?
Trash, dude. You're trash.
My grandmother, I would get some chicken fingers. She would get some pancakes, you know, full Italian stuff.
You got chicken fingers for breakfast? You fucking disgusting.
No, we would go there for fucking dinner. That's even worse.
Oh, so your grandmother got pancakes for dinner?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Dude, okay. All right.
Breakfast for dinner, man. You never heard of it? Get on board.
Anyway,
I don't eat pancakes. I'm more of a savory boy.
Yeah.
I usually am too, except for whatchamacallit at the Grove.
that place.
That place is,
didn't they burn it down?
It did not burn down. What else do we have to discuss about this episode?
I like, this is perfect though, because I thought we were gonna go like all over the place to just talk about little bits of the episode, because that's really all you could talk about this episode.
It's true, because not much.
But there are great little.
Well, I guess so we leave that storyline with, we see Junior and Catherine finally hanging out,
right?
And she's like rubbing his feet on the couch, and he falls asleep. And then she comes and, like, it's very sweet. She puts the mask on his face.
Watching Diagnosis Murder.
Right, yeah, of course.
Hell yeah, dude.
Then she, like, kisses his head and she leaves. And that's the last time we ever see or hear from her in this episode.
Yep.
Or, I mean, in the series. So, like, I don't know.
You think he's scared away by Livia? Because Livia's all fucking poking her beak in.
Yeah, that's right. We do get a call from Livia.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing calling my home?
Could fill a book with all the things you don't know.
Right. Of course, she's like, it's the sweetest old woman, and Livia's got just shit to say about her.
Right.
I
mean,
but it's just interesting. They put like a period on the end of that storyline, and that's it. So I have to ask, like, what were they trying to say with that? Like,
I think. The best that I can say is that, like, speaks to the whole episode is just a slice of, like, a little moment in his life. Like, you know, this is just a slice of life.
He's getting friendly with someone and doesn't.
And then you never hear about it again. Which, like, you know, it happens all the time.
And we also hear about what's her name, his old lady friend. Bobby says he saw
Bobby Sanfilippo. Yeah, who he puts the pie in the face of in season one.
By the way, so fucking funny. Bobby, they bring up Fountains of Wayne again, and and he says he saw her at Fountains of Wayne, and Junior asks Bobby what she was getting, and he says a fountain of a kid pissing.
Classic.
What a great little like fucking nugget. Like, you like didn't have to write that. That's so fucking funny.
It's true.
You can see Bobby being like, "Fuck, getting a kid pissing. That's kind of fucking weird."
True.
I did dig a bird bath or something, but like, you know, fucking kid pissing. Okay. I see where your priorities are.
I see why she got the pie to the face now.
But yeah, so by the end of the episode, we have Tony comes back to the crew in the back room of Satrials. This is one of my favorite sort of endings to an episode where it's, you know, just business as usual. This is his comfort zone, right? Like there's beads of fucking sweat on Tony's forehead when he's like just forced to be at home listening to his wife's book club. He's so miserable. And then he fucking comes back to, you know, his natural element here, you know, Hesh and Chris playing whatever fucking card game. We have Polly and Syl making sauce, just hanging out in the back of Satrials.
Talks about his new moisturizer he's using.
New moisturizer. Nice little touch. Yeah. So I was like, maybe I'll try it.
I love the last shot. It just seems like a nice, like dreary, like, I don't know if it's fall or spring. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like a nice dreary, like northeast.
Polly trying to catch 3 o'clock
in the afternoon. Yeah. Like spring or fall day, maybe fall. I don't know. Yeah. I guess it would be early in the basketball season if it was fall. Right.
And then Agent Harris shows up and he's like, oh, Tony, how about that Nets game? Like, what do you think they were trying to say there? Because I'm a little skeptical that the rest of the guy, because Tony like very warmly greets him. And I'm a little skeptical the rest of the guys wouldn't be like, the fuck you doing being so friendly to this fucking FBI agent? You know,
they already know that he is.
They know that he pops his head in. I mean,
right?
It's the whole humdrum of life sort of thing that the episode is. I will also say too that I thought it felt like the quiet before the storm, because the next two episodes are pretty bang.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a question I have for you hardcore dudes who have seen this dozens of times. Last episode ends with a car crash with that dipshit Carmine. Which is that little Carmine or is that a different Carmine?
No,
I don't think it is. Just but they hadn't. They're Italian like name. Trying to get like Italian names in, so they're like, they reuse them every once in a while.
Yeah, it could have just as easily been like, hey, Giuseppe, what are you doing? What are you speeding?
Hey, Colaccio.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did see when I was doing my search for fucking internet this week, I did see a lot of people asking that same question. So you got your thumb on the pulse, man. For having seen one time, you're good. You're good.
But
pretty much it.
We talked way more about this ep than I thought we would be able to, considering that there were no real like, you know,
a lot of
wild plot points or anything, but it's good. I always appreciate these eps too. Like I just remember like watching back when the show was on, because you always knew that when you would get an ep like this, there was probably something pretty intense on the way.
Well, final two eps are always intense, but especially for whatever reason, the penultimate episode of each season is always
usually
like
the big one,
climax.
Yeah.
We want to move on?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Kill Cow, when we have guests on, we often play a little game with them called Have You Ever? Our last guest did not play along, and it was really fucking annoying. And, you know, he was a doctor, so I think, like, he was just trying to show us up and stick his nose up at us. But
this is a show for the commoners.
Yeah, you know, this is for us paisans. But basically, I'll just ask you some have you ever questions and, you know, just answer, you know, truthfully.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You good?
I'm good.
First question, have you ever gone to any sort of therapy before?
No, I have not, but I've gone to a doctor's office that's connected to a therapy office, and I saw my friend walk into there and I thought, is this guy getting therapy? What's wrong with him?
Oh, shit. That's,
oh, shit.
No.
That's like the worst. That's like when Tony sees like Syl at in season one and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went to a doctor's office. Have you ever gone to the doctor and the doctor smells like vodka because they have to drink to deal with you?
Usually I smell like vodka because I have to deal with the doctor. And it's always Belvedere vodka.
That's why you're going to the doctor.
Which I assume is produced by Mr. Belvedere.
It absolutely is. That is correct. Yeah, I think when he notoriously sat on his balls and couldn't shoot the show for a while, he came up with the idea for Belvedere vodka. All right, next one. Have you ever been to a mini mart?
I've been to a Minute Mart.
A Minute Mart, okay.
It's Minute Mart, M-I-N-I-T. And there was one by my college, and I thought it was Mini Mart for the longest time. And then, like, a week before graduation, I was like, oh, this is Minute Mart. I've been living a lie for 4 years.
Fuck, dude.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Penn State.
Oh, okay.
Right in what some would consider the Pine Barrens of Pennsylvania.
Sure, sure. okay, so you went to a Minute Mart. Have you ever been to a Minute Mart and the trash truck comes and dumps pounds of garbage in the parking lot? And the owner of the Minute Mart runs out and he's like, "Hey, you motherfuckers!" Did you ever see that?
Like I said, that's like every other Tuesday in Philadelphia after Eagles losses. And if you listen very closely to the Eagles fight song, then you can hear that one of the lyrics is, "You are speaking shit to me."
You have to be paying attention, though.
That's yeah, right. only real Eagles heads know.
We're Giants fans, so we don't fuck with that shit. All right, next question. Have you ever bought someone a gift?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever bought someone a gift because they're your lawyer and they got you off of a murder charge?
That's like half of the gifts that I've
gotten. Hell yeah.
50%. Wow.
Dude, so far this is going way better than our last episode. have you ever gone to a party?
I've been to a couple parties, yes.
Hell yeah. I knew you were going to say yes. Have you ever gone to a party and your sister's fiance is there and he's a piece of shit psychopath and he refuses to respect you and you have to tell him you hate the way he makes you fucking ride him all the time? And then you're so overcome with anger that you end up having a panic attack. And then at the hospital, the doctor is like, "You could lose some weight." Ever happened to you? Or?
I feel like you've got a window right into my soul right now.
Hell yeah, dude. Dude, fuck that doctor. This is a one-off. Have you ever had gabagool?
Yes. I had gabagool for real for the first time like a month ago. Got a sandwich I saw gabagool was on the ingredients list. And I'm like, oh!
Getting it. Oh!
Did you not recognize it at first because it said capicola?
No. I got into the whole history of gabagool. So I saw the capicola and I'm like, this is gabagool.
See,
how did you find it?
Did you enjoy it?
Oh yeah, it was excellent. It was mixed in with a bunch of other Italian meats. So
naturally,
I can't really.
It's
kind of like a firing squad where you don't know what caused the specific deliciousness, but you know it was a part of it. So I'd say I enjoyed the gabagool.
I will say there was a pizza place in my neighborhood growing up, owned by Greeks. But they had really good heroes, and I would often get what I thought back then was capicola because that's what they fucking said because they were Greek and they didn't know shit. So they would always say capicola. So when I first started watching Sopranos, I was like, sorry, what's gabagool?
I just had this conversation with my dad because my dad is watching it, and he was like, "I had to look up what gabagool is." And I was like, "You know what fucking gabagool is, Dad? Yeah. You're from North Jersey." He's from North Jersey. He's "No, I don't."
This was in Hartford, Connecticut, so it makes more sense. But come on,
but he's like a nerdy Jew.
I'm proud
to say, I
knew that gabagool was the word before I ever heard the word capicola.
Well, as you should.
So did I.
Well, good for yous. All right, next question. Have you ever had a date at your house?
Yes.
Have you ever had a date at your house because you're on house arrest because you did a bunch of crimes?
I I'd say half yes, because I did a few crimes that were bigger.
But you weren't on house arrest.
Like, I was on house arrest, but not for
a
few crimes.
You know, house arrest reminds me of the movie House Party, which is it's actually holds up.
It reminded me of
Dominic Chianese could have starred in.
I was thinking of House Guest, the Sinbad movie.
Oh, also incredible.
Ooh.
Phil Hoffman.
That's a good one.
You know what? I watched that like last year. Doesn't hold up.
Really?
I was very sad.
Don't tell us
very
that.
Very sad.
Don't tell
That's
us
sad.
I'm sorry. Well, now we're all
sad. I love them both.
Yeah, now we're all sad. Thanks a lot. Sorry, all right, next question. Just a couple more. Have you ever flirted with someone?
I've flirted,
oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big flirt. You know that.
Hell yeah. Have you?
You've been flirting with
Hell yeah.
Spellman this whole podcast.
That's man. Right. By the way, I feel terrible that I'm the only one on this podcast without glasses, and I feel really threatened by you guys. Okay, so you have flirted with someone. Have you ever flirted with someone by telling them about your bunions?
Oh, God. That's my go-to line. And it was my go-to line, but then someone said to me, you know how I feel about feet. And I had to cut it off.
I love that line.
By the way, like he also comments like later on about the wine that Furio brings, the wine that his uncle makes, and it tastes like people's feet. So clearly, he's like the opposite of Rex Ryan. He's just like disgust, absolutely disgusting.
He's got a weird thing about people's feet.
Yeah, sure. Fair. He also says the line about using his toes this episode to call the authorities.
True.
So you know, have you ever worked in an office?
Yes.
Have you ever made a basketball pool for people in the office with a ruler that you had previously used to scratch your disgusting rash?
Usually I keep my rulers separated.
That's smart. See, that's smart. That's
kind
what,
of you.
I think Tony would have stuck around a little more if he had done that, but obviously.
I would have loved to see a spinoff of just Tony as like an office worker. He's like, hey, I'm just circling back here.
Right. If the show was around in like 2011, that would have been a webisode or something.
Right.
Like yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had sex with the secretary.
Born again Christian.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
We did not. I do love that the look on his face when Barone tells him she's a born again Christian.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah? Yeah.
I had good friends.
All right, two more. Has anyone ever insulted you?
I've been insulted, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Sadly, yes, I've been insulted.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. Has anyone ever insulted you by telling you you're flexing, but like in an insulting way?
That I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, dude, just be careful where you flex, man. That's
right,
all I
right,
can
right.
say.
And then last question, have you ever eaten half a tray or more of Menegut in one sitting?
No, I've never eaten half a tray or more of Menegut.
Oh, good. Man, I would love to eat half a tray of Menegut.
Not even in several sittings, just...
I don't think collectively.
Killikow is on the East Coast right now, it's 10 p.m., but it is dinner time on the West Coast, and I am fucking famished. I would definitely eat half a tray right now.
My cousin makes
Menegut,
a great...
not my favorite.
No, I prefer Big Ziti. Big Ziti.
It's too much. I'll take some ravioli if I want a cheese fill something.
You can have like one tube, like one, you know.
Right, yeah.
I like it more than ravioli for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah.
You fucking monster.
I guess there's more. I feel like there's more cheese.
There was
if you get
ravioli.
Two.
There was a great.
I know.
Did you guys?
Spells, I know. You're right. I know.
I know. But I just can't help myself. I would eat that fucking tray. It's better cold. It's better the next day.
Did you guys ever go to an Italian restaurant on Worcester Street in New Haven called Tony and Lucille's? Did you ever go there?
No, I know of it though.
It
yeah.
was my family's place, and I will say their Menegut was fucking. It's like what. My mom and I usually got. It was
really
fucking great.
Maybe I'll try. Is it still around?
I think it just closed,
motherfucker. Yeah, I'll try it.
Because you guys never went.
Travel again.
Well, you guys never went, you motherfuckers.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have ordered the Menegut, so.
Fuck you, fuckhead. Anyway,
you
that was
Goalie's.
That was Have You Ever. Thank you for playing. Thank you for playing.
Wow.
Thank you, Evan.
Glad I could do better than a doctor on this.
You won.
Yeah, you won. Man. You actually won the game. I've never seen that before, ever.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to do this mid roll.
Yeah. Who's reading it?
Oh fuck.
I sent it to you. Yeah, Goalie's.
If you have it. Hey guys. There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag.
As a lie. There's an extreme shortage.
Be insulting our sponsors. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches.
Jesus Christ.
Fun. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Simulations?
I gotta bet on one of these simulations to see how much money I'm gonna lose.
I don't know. I wouldn't trust it. Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
I just imagine, like, the simulations. It's like betting on, like, you know, in the casinos, like, the fake, like, horse race, like, on that table. Like, that's what it's like.
Right. But that you can actually watch. Like, this is some, like, someone in, like, you know, Bangladesh being like, oh, man.
Right. Just screw him out of this. No, you lost. And that's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, check it out. Use that promo code BLUEWIRE and definitely go on betonline.ag.
All right. We are at fucking internet. This is, of course, the segment of the show when we source your questions, concerns, comments about The Sopranos from Reddit, Twitter, and nowhere else. Actually, it's all... No, I have one Twitter this week. Okay, cool. This one from user Cram Baswad.
Hell yeah.
Season 2, Episode 11, House Arrest. At the end of episode, when they're out in front of the pork store, Agent Harris introduces Tony to his new partner, Agent Marquez. Tony asks, what's the matter? No openings at the post office? And Cram Baswad asks, what's the implication? I have a feeling English is like not the first language with Cram Baswad. So let's explain.
I don't know. With a name like that, I mean, I think they've got a great command of that language.
Yeah, they sound like they're hip to the King's English. Cram Baswad.
Maybe that's just how I'm pronouncing
sir,
it.
Sir, it's Sir Cram Baswad.
It's a shittier job in the government. Like,
I think there's something like, hey, like you're not a skilled person. You're looking for a government job.
Yeah, like as like job oh, you're. Office. Yeah, you should. You belong there. Like it's a Raz, you know. Like,
yeah.
Also, he's been rusty with razzing people since he hasn't been in that world. So you might just be saying shit without thinking about it.
Actually, of course, I really love that answer. Yeah. Thank you. That actually is a better explanation for all of it. He's fucking not busting balls all week, and he comes back with that one.
Yeah,
that less than par zinger. This one from user Alex Higgins. Why do you think Tony nearly had a second panic attack in the house arrest episode? I draw your attention to the scene where Tony, Carmela, Richie, and Janice are at a house that Richie and Janice are looking to buy. Tony tells Richie he has told his uncle not to sell drugs on garbage routes, which caused an earlier panic attack for Tony when he confronted Richie. Anyway, Tony nearly has a panic attack and excuses himself. I've seen some folk claim that this is due to Tony's fear of Richie, and others claim it's because he wants to murder Richie. What do you say? What do you guys think? The second panic attack in the episode, which we actually didn't discuss, is when Janice and Richie are house hunting and they're at this place and Tony finally confronts Richie about shit and this and that. And then he ends up like, oh, you know, I'm feeling hot. And he's like, I'm just going to leave. And he goes out front. What do you guys think spurred that?
Well, I guess maybe it's maybe he's finally finding a way how to deal with his panic attacks. Because he removes himself from a situation where he's feeling panicky and then he feels better. And also in doing that, he says, "Oh, you poor bastard," right?
Yeah. He's standing outside and Richie like knocks on a window and he's like, "Oh, you poor bastard."
Yeah. Cause he's seeing how like, I guess kind of fucked Richie is. Like Richie thinks he can be in that, you know, on the same echelon as Tony, but he won't arise to that.
Oh, see, I thought maybe? He was thinking you poor bastard because like he's marrying Janice.
That as well. You know, he's looking at the whole like situation of Richie and it's just like, it's gonna turn out bad for him. Why am I so panicked?
Yeah.
You know,
right. But also there's you could look at it as he's saying that to himself. Like, oh, you poor bastard. Like, this is now going to be your brother-in-law and you're going to have to fucking, he's going to be a thorn in your side for however long.
True. I don't know, but does he calm himself down? Does he, he does
when he goes out, he gets some air, but I wanted to point out, like, earlier when he had the panic attack at the garbage man's ball, it was, like we said, peppered with all these, like, fucking mundane conversations about the business. Well, Tony only starts to have the panic attack, not when he's like outwardly confrontational with Richie, but when Richie starts talking about, you know, the walls, they're not sheetrock, you know, they just put a new lawn in. When it's like the mundane conversational shit, when Tony starts to fucking have the panic attack. And I think maybe that's what's causing it. He's like forced to accept this guy who he knows is a monster, like into the conversation that is like his regular sort of life, right? Like, we're just gonna shoot the shit now, and that sort of like causes him to go off the rails and maybe start to panic. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but then I think he realizes like that Richie is the poor bastard when he goes inside. I don't think Tony would ever say that to himself. He would never think that about
you
himself.
Poor bastard. Well, he does feel sorry for himself a lot. You don't think so? But
I don't think he would vocalize it. I don't think he would like. I mean, maybe to Melfi. But like to himself, I don't know. It's again, it's interesting. It's an interesting scene.
It's a good question, Alex Higgins. Any other thoughts?
Real name, real question.
All right, we'll move on to user altruistic skill. This is more of a general question for the entirety of the series. Characters you wish they had done more with. I wish they had done more with the kid who spilled fried rice over Richie Aprile when he was on his way through the food court. That's his entire post. That's it. What do you guys think? Amazing. You could answer seriously or you could have a joke answer. Like,
I think that's the best joke answer.
Yeah. There's no way to top that.
I don't really I never even would think of that character ever again, until you mentioned it.
I mean,
maybe. He doesn't even appear on screen. It's just Richie's pissed. He's like, this fucking kid spilled fried rice all over me.
Oh, God.
That's so funny. I mean, maybe the weirdo guy who goes, oh, shit, when Phil's head gets run over.
Yeah.
Just have a whole episode.
You are speaking shit to me, guy. That'd be great just to see more of him.
I want to see, like, a day in the life of Vic the appraiser.
Yes.
Just like, aside from the one horrible day where he gets beaten up twice and told to get his appraising shit out.
Right.
But just start like appraising. I don't know, him going to the office, doing some appraisals, going home to his family.
Right.
I assume that he just like opens every scene that he goes into in his life. He just walks in and he's like, hey, I'm Vic the appraiser. What you need?
We should say you often change your Twitter name with some fun wording, and in honor of the coming on the pod, you change your Twitter name to Michael Vic the appraiser, which is quite good.
Fantastic.
Thank you. I was feeling nervous about it. The first reply when I announced I changed the name was someone saying, cool, what does it mean? And then Michael Vick is someone, Vic the appraiser is a very minor character on The Sopranos. And then like they just said, "Oh, hard. Thanks."
I thought you were going to
link them. You got to link them to this episode once it comes out.
Please, we need more listeners.
I thought it was like going to be Eagles fans being like, "He paid his dues."
It's not dog appraising anymore.
Yeah. I'll give a kind of serious, kind of jokey answer. I would love to see more of Lou DiMaggio and those weirdo fucks up in Rhode Island.
That's a really good call. Though.
Do you remember this, Evan? The guys they almost had do the hit on Johnny Sack. Phil go up to Rhode Island, a bunch of old guys.
It's like, yeah, like with the
kayaks with the guys and like,
yeah.
Just blind people and psychopaths. Like I would love to see like a little spin.
It's Father's birthday.
Yeah, the priest is there. We're having cake. Very weird. Because everybody would like, because they establish those characters so well.
Yeah.
And then they're one scene.
Because Junior, before they go up, Junior's like, don't fuck with these people.
Like he builds them up.
Yeah.
And then just nothing. So it's like, why? But like, hey, I don't know. Maybe they had other storylines planned.
That's a really good call.
Yeah. Okay. This one from Twitter.
I thought you were talking about my neighbor, Lou DiMaggio.
I don't know what you mean by that, but
real guy. We should have him on.
Yeah, we should have him on.
Oh, yeah?
Stand-up comedian.
Oh, really? Oh, is Lou DiMaggio?
He's
a real guy.
A peer of like Seinfeld and Ray Romano and like all those guys back in the 80s.
We'll have him on. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, sorry. We'll get him on.
Sorry. That's my fault. That was a stupid
come on, tangent. Spells.
What the fuck? We're already going so fucking long.
We got momentum.
How dare you talk about bringing another guest while a current guest
very
is on.
Insulting.
I'm sorry. Very, my apologies.
You're better than Lou DiMaggio, man. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, thank you.
This one from @SopranosClub. It's a poll. If Chris had survived and Tony was killed in Holston's, would Christopher have been a strong enough character to have led the show in a spinoff? What do you think?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
If they did like a really absurd, like ignoring a lot of character traits kind of spinoff and made him like permanently get clean and he just becomes like an Ari Gold kind of figure out in Hollywood and is signing like Vinny Chase up to do Cleaver.
That would be that. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
I mean,
that would be good.
I think you just sold that to HBO Max, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like Joey, yeah, like right. Joey, but Sopranos.
No. How? Oh, yeah. Can we get someone to be better than like one of the greatest characters of television history? No.
I can see the Deadline headline now. Christopher canceled after one season.
Right. Yeah.
David Chase fucking kills himself because he can never ever show his face again in Hollywood.
I mean, look, it would be as good. I'd fucking watch the hell out of it, tell you that much.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, and our final question, we'll wrap it up. This one from Reddit also. User Audi Indie, AUTINDIE. This post titled Joe Pesci. If you could swap one actor for Joe Pesci to take their role in The Sopranos, who would it be?
I mean, Paulie is the obvious answer, right? Like,
think so?
Sure, yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of obvious answers. Joe Pesci could have been an interesting Ralphie. You don't think so?
I don't know. No, I don't.
I think he could have been interesting Richie.
Or Sale, maybe.
I say Phil Leotardo. That was the first
time. Oh, actually, yeah, Phil.
Well, yeah. It's funny because they always kill each other in the fucking Scorsese movies.
That's
right?
True.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think we've seen in The Irishman that Joe Pesci has a lot more range than maybe a lot of us would have considered. So
that's true.
Everything we've said is a pretty good answer, but I want to give him a challenge. Vito Jr.
Age him down. with the new technology.
Age him down.
Don't even age him down. Don't even like explain it. Just have him like
just have him in the shit. Have him wear the makeup with the new technology.
Yeah, I want Goth Joe Pesci to get an Emmy for pooping in the shower.
That's wonderful. You can't beat that answer.
So, on that note.
Yeah.
On that note, Evan, remind everybody where they can find you.
I'm on Twitter at Killakow, KILLAKOW. You can find Sopranos Robes on Instagram at Sopranos Robes. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice. Love it. And honestly, listeners, give him a follow. You legitimately are one of the best Twitters. You know, despite my hatred of Philly, you know, I love your stuff. So, and thank you for coming on. I appreciate this.
Thank you, man.
This is great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me. All I've been doing for the past few months is talking with my girlfriend about The Sopranos. So it's nice to continue just doing that too with other people.
I've seen you. You're sort of dabbling in like The Sopranos, like stuff like that guy, Ryan Perry does like, I think you should leave League Pass. And I love it. I'm here for it. I love every minute of it. Keep making weird Sopranos jokes. The three people on this podcast will love it.
Yes.
And as always, listeners, you can find us at osopranospod on Instagram and Twitter. You can also email us at osopranospod@gmail.com. Give us a 5-star review. Subscribe if you aren't already subscribing. All that fucking bullshit. Write whatever the fuck you want. You can shit on us all you want. Just give us the 5 stars, okay, you fucking stones, all right? All right?
All right.
We good?
Yeah.
Get up. Oh!
All right. Oh! Till next week. Oh!
Oh!
Oh!